This is AENN, American Exceptionalism News Network.
Everybody is to leave here immediately. This cafe is closed until further notice. Clear the room at once.
How can he close me up on what ground?
I'm shocked to find that gambling is going on in here.
You're winning, sir.
Oh, thank you very much. Everybody out at once.
Round up the usual suspects.
2-1-1-0.
I know some people want me to bypass Congress and change the laws on my own.
It is the agenda for the 21st century you're living in today. For a brave new world where everything that you cherished and held true will no longer exist.
The original Constitution, I think it is an imperfect document, and I think it is a document that reflects some deep flaws.
And that would authorize him to use the military to arrest people in the United States who, in the president's opinion, are enemies of the country.
You'll find that they've also asked for the right to imprison farmers who wouldn't keep books as prescribed by the federal government. The Secretary of Agriculture asked for the right to seize farms through condemnation and resell them to other individuals. And contained in that same program was a provision that would have allowed the federal government to remove 2 million farmers from the soil.
New government Republicans and Democrats were busy shredding the last vestiges of the Constitution. They're talking about inserting the army into domestic law enforcement. The homeland is part of the battlefield, and people can be held without trial, whether an American citizen or not.
I have been often to, the mothership in New York City, but it's good to have an outpost of the council right here down the street from the State Department. We get a lot of advice from the council, so this will mean I won't have this far to go to be told what we should be doing and how we should think about the future.
Take off the tinfoil hat and put on the Kevlar. It's time for battle with Paul Preston and the Agenda 21 Show.
Well, hello and welcome to Agenda 21 Radio. This is the radio show that is stopping totalitarianism one exceptional American at a time. And yes, ladies and gentlemen, are you that exceptional American? I suspect you are. That's why you're listening to this radio show. So welcome aboard. A lot of things going on. It's a very, very fast-moving news day, as is the tradition here on Agenda 21 Radio. Please visit our website, agenda21radio.news. That's agenda21radio.news. And, of course, also newcaliforniastate.com will become the 51st state of the union. Coming up to our second constitutional convention in Irvine, California, October 5th and 6th. It's going to be a barn burner. Over 250 people will be in the House with all delegates, all senators, and assembly members present to pass more resolutions. Yeah, about New California. Anyway, the big news, though, that's going on right now, and that is that Rod Rosenstein is expected to resign. This is coming from the Washington Examiner, and we've been hearing rumors about this for the last several days, obviously, the comments about wearing a wire. And, of course, Donald Trump's famous, now it's certainly here on this radio show because we play this clip all the time, his famous tweet that said, I'm shocked to see this sort of thing going on. Sort of a mimic or mime, a meme on what we do here, as we are so shocked to see so many things happening in Washington and certainly here in California, all the antics of the Maoists and everybody else that are just sort of joining in on the feeding fest of totalitarianism in California. But with us right now, very, very happy to have with us Steve Hilton. Steve Hilton, of course, is the host of The Next Revolution on Fox News. It's a favorite of our show, one of the favorite Fox News shows that we watch here on Agenda 21 Radio. He's written a new book called Positive Populism. It's the revolutionary ideas to rebuild economic security, family, and community in America. So welcome, Steve Hilton, to Agenda 21 Radio. Steve, welcome.
It's great to be with you. Thank you.
Yes. So tell us about your book, because this is, you know, first of all, the themes that come out of your show, I'm so pleased to see you taking on the issues of California, what's going on. And you actually reported on us on Fox and Friends a couple of times about New California when we first came out with our Declaration of Independence. You had a Tommy Lahren standoff with one of our former governors, which I thought was really, really good, because you're talking about California. You laid it out very well about some of the issues going on in California.
Oh, yeah.
And I remember that very, very well. Tommy Lahren, she's something else, isn't she?
Yes, that's right. Yes, absolutely.
So how did you get the notion of writing this book called Positive Populism?
So over the last couple of years, we've seen that word populism used quite a bit. To describe various things. You see it applied to Donald Trump's surprise victory here in the primaries in 2016, and then obviously the general election and the Brexit vote the same year in the UK, and also applied to what Bernie Sanders was arguing in his successful campaign, which nearly toppled the Democratic Party establishment, and then elections now happening all over Europe. So there's a common theme to these political developments, and that is that people are expressing, working people particularly, are expressing an anger with the fact that for decades now, it seems to them that it doesn't matter who wins elections, the same people and the same ideas are in power.
Mm-hmm.
And those ideas have benefited the people at the top of the ladder enormously. If you look at what's happened to their incomes and their opportunities, they've been spectacularly great in the last few decades in the era of globalization, where we've had more automation, uncontrolled immigration, and this great centralization of power, both in government but also in the economy, with giant corporations getting bigger and bigger and bigger and buying up their competitors. So all of that has helped the people at the top. And that agenda has been pushed forward by Republicans and Democrats. Whoever wins elections, as I say, that the ideas of globalization, automation, centralization, and uncontrolled immigration have moved forward with them. And that agenda I describe as elitism. Now, what you've been seeing is a revolt against that. People saying, we've had enough of that. We want to change. What I'm trying to do with my book is say, okay, great. But let's start to define the change. It's not enough just to say what we're against. We're against the elites and bad trade deals and the corrupt, rigged economy and so on. That's true, but what are we for? What are we arguing in favor of? What exactly is the change we want to see that will put power back in the hands of people and deliver, I think, the four key components of this populist movement, I think, which is an agenda that is pro-worker, pro-family, pro-community, and pro-America. That's really what it's about. And you may say, well, who's against that? That's just a platitude. But actually, if you look at what's been happening for the last few years, policy hasn't been pro-worker. Workers have seen their jobs go away and their incomes go down. The family has been undermined. Hasn't been pro-community. Power's been taken away from communities, and it certainly hasn't been pro-America, because we've seen this globalist ideology applied, which doesn't really prioritize sovereign nation states. And so if we put forward a plan that is pro-worker, pro-family, pro-community, and pro-America, that really would be a revolution. And it's ideas to deliver that are in this book, Positive Populism.
Well, you know, one of the things that we came up with, and really the main reason why we started the New California State Movement, was to do exactly what you're talking about, to give power back into the hands of the people, as opposed to what we have right now is centralized power in Sacramento,
yes,
which we have a monoparty system led by
a
dictator.
It's a really important point, because one of the things that people say, like we all, again, it's one of those things that everyone can agree with. We don't like centralized power. We don't like the federal government. Let's get power back to the people, and so on. And a lot of that conversation stops at the state level, and people say, well, let's just, you know, states' rights, let's get power from Washington to the states. But that's not enough. The states themselves are highly centralized. You know, California, as you know, is the fifth biggest economy in the world. So how is that enough in terms of people power? That's why in my book I've got ideas not just for giving power. Yes, we do need to transfer power from the federal government to the states, but much, much lower and closer to the people. from the states to local government, and from local government even lower than that, either to individual people themselves so they can make choices for themselves, or the neighborhoods. That's another interesting way to think about it, because neighborhoods are the place where a lot of human social interaction happens, and I do think there are opportunities to give neighborhoods more power and control over what happens there, and I've got ideas specifically on that in the book.
Well, you know, that's one of the big things that we're starting to see happen with a lot of the illegal foreign nationals that are flooding into our communities, especially here in California. The uptick has been just absolutely enormous. And the open invitation that Jerry Brown and others have given, of course, with the driver's licenses and things like that, has been a big lure. And now, even today, we're hearing about Texas, and we've been hearing about what happens at the border because we have our own sources down there, that they're just starting to continue to flood across the border virtually unchecked, or they're creating the diversions that are going on, like in Texas. And more and more people are coming across. 2,000 people reported by Breitbart, Texas, in a matter of 3 days at one point along the border there. This is becoming a huge flood, and the timing couldn't be more spectacular because we have the election coming up in November.
Yes, and I think that one of the big themes, and I think one of the big reasons that in California specifically, John Cox is doing much better than anyone expected, is that there too people want change. They don't want the same old failed policies. And I think immigration is one of those areas where, again, it doesn't really matter who you voted for. Nothing seems to have changed. And you've had this agenda that suits both the identity politics left, but also the corporate right in terms of uncontrolled immigration and the importing of cheap labor. And I think it's another interesting example where the establishment wings of the of both parties are, if you like, in agreement and in collusion. Mm-hmm. But the populist wings are also in agreement. It was very interesting to me that in the 2016 campaign, Bernie Sanders, for example, certainly in the early stages before he really understood that you couldn't get anywhere in the Democratic Party
with a
tough position on immigration. But early before that, in 2015, for example, he gave a really interesting interview, which got a lot of attention, where he used language very similar to Donald Trump's in terms of controlling low-wage immigration, and made the argument that actually uncontrolled low-wage, low-skill immigration hurts American workers, particularly African-American and Hispanic young people, whose jobs and incomes are being undermined. And he made a very powerful case against open borders and in favor of tougher immigration control. That was Bernie Sanders.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, it's interesting. Bernie Sanders really was resonating in California in 2016. In fact, I can remember, and this is the cry that I've always been making ever since the 2016 election, actually even before then, about the corrupt election systems, but I was driving up and down the state from Sacramento down to Southern California numerous times in the months leading up to the election. And everywhere I went, from San Diego to Los Angeles to Orange County, up through the valley, you'd see Bernie Sanders signs, people out there, hundreds of them on the street corners, you know, begging for people to vote for Bernie Sanders in the upcoming, you know, in the primary election.
Yeah.
Yet Hillary Clinton trounced him. And, of course, we all knew the fix was in. But, you know, the reason why he was resonating so well, I think, is exactly the point you're making. He was saying the same thing Donald Trump was saying in relative to immigration, and it certainly was resonating with the black community in Los Angeles, because I have numerous friends down there who were supporting Bernie Sanders for just that reason.
Yes, and I think that's what's interesting about this, and what I'd like to see happen with populism is, and one of the reasons I wrote the book, is to try and start a conversation about how we can build it into a lasting movement that prioritizes the interests of working people, which hasn't happened in the past,
mm-hmm.
and really goes beyond just one election cycle or one presidential campaign or whatever, and starts to create a movement of people and ideas that can really bring about long-term lasting change. That's really one of the reasons that I wanted to put it all down and put out this book and see what people thought of the specific ideas, but much more importantly, joining this movement.
Yeah, and I think that's the key thing. I think people want to get on board with this. I know that with our surveying and things that we're doing here in California out of the 58 counties, we get a very, very good feel, a very, very good picture of where things are going. I mean, even San Francisco County and Marin County all want to get on board with New California because we're taking this populist position. And it's interesting, the comments that we're getting, it's like they're just abandoning ship. But, you know, they still have to stay on that ship. That's kind of a dilemma for them.
Right. Okay.
But, you know, it's turned into a real flood of people that
well,
are coming around
to hear.
This. It's so anyway, it plays right into what you're talking about in the next revolution, as you
yes.
say on your radio show, or excuse me, your TV show.
Yes, TV show. Sunday nights at 9, that's right. Well, yeah. Thank you so much.
Yeah. Well, listen, thanks for being with us here on Agenda 21 Radio. I know you got to run for time. And we've been talking to Steve Hilton, Positive Populism, Revolutionary Ideas to Rebuild Economic Security, Family, and Community in America. Steve, thanks for being with us here on Agenda 21 Radio. Really appreciate it.
No, it's been a great pleasure. Really appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Okay, Steve Hilton from Fox News. Yeah. Isn't that interesting? Steve Hilton, Positive Populism, Revolutionary Ideas to Rebuild Economic Security, Family, and Community in America. Gee, it just sort of sounds like New California. Doesn't it? When I saw the title of this and I said, my goodness, we've got to have this guy on the show because this is exactly what everybody's been talking about is, you know, well, I mean, it's populism. We've talked about Brexit. We've talked about the Trump revolution. We've talked about all that stuff. It's pretty important stuff, in my opinion. Anyway, going on. We've got a whole bunch of things happening here. We're going to try and hook up with Scott Adams of the Scott Adams Show here in just a minute to see whether or not he can come on board and give us a little bit more information about what's going on with Rod Rosenstein. I think it's sort of a foregone conclusion that Rod Rosenstein actually would resign. And the reason why I say that is because he understands more than anybody else the resignation puts him in a little bit of a comfort zone where he doesn't have to appear before Congress. And again, I don't think he liked it. I think he was uncomfortable with it, even though it was part of his job, part of his job description. This was something that I would think would be much anticipated because, again, you know, resigning means he does maybe he can get subpoenaed and so on, and he might not show up, or he might claim the just come out and plead the fifth in any of his things, but as a part of his job, he would have to go. He couldn't refuse it. Probably couldn't he'd have to claim the fifth in his job. That is not a good thing. So he's resigned now, apparently. Now, this is what we have not gotten all the fast facts. We're going to get all the fast facts here momentarily about what is going on with that. And we'll pull up Drudge right now. See, I expect it to be all over the place, and it's not. But also, we better make sure we're Rosenstein expecting to be fired, heads to White House, resigning. Fate of Mueller. Dun 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 dun. Dun 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 dun. Dun 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 dun. This is from AP. Rosenstein expecting to be fired, heads to White House. Deputy Attorney General Rod Rosenstein was heading to the White House on Monday, expecting to be fired by President Donald Trump following reports that he had made critical comments of Trump. A person familiar with the situation told the Associated Press, Trump himself was in New York for a meeting of the United Nations General Assembly. The development comes 3 days after reports indicating that last year Rosenstein had raised the idea of secretly recording Trump and of invoking the Constitution to have his cabinet remove him from office. Any termination or resignation would have immediate implications for special counsel Robert Mueller's investigation of possible collaboration between Russia and the Trump campaign. Before the 2016 election, Rosenstein appointed Mueller and oversees his investigation. Solicitor General Noel Francisco, the highest-ranking Senate confirmed. What the? Solicitor General. They screwed up here. Confirmed official below Rosenstein and the Justice Department would take control of the Mueller investigation. Trump had previously floated the idea of firing Rosenstein in April after FBI raids of the office and home of the president's longtime personal attorney, Michael Cohen. No. Payback is a biatch, as they call it, right? Rod. Anyway, but the latest move comes after a New York Times report of Rosenstein's comments in 2017. The report had an unsigned opinion piece. I'm looking for the time here. I'm going to try and get Scott Adams with us here in just a moment. And let's see, you know what? I'm going to bug him right now and say, hey, come on. Give us a break. Give us a call. Make the bugle call to this guy. We'll call about, he's probably listening right now. So we're making the bugle call to see if he's going to come on. Anyway, to report on this, we need to make the scoundrel report, don't you think? He's got it. Oh, look, Scott, are you here?
Yeah.
I knew you were listening to my radio show.
Yes.
Because that's all you do is listen to your show and my show and everybody else's show. 36 shows, 36 hours of programming every day. I don't know how you do it. Anyway, Rod Rosenstein, man, you gave me the old thumbs up here on the text, and all of a sudden it's true. I'm shocked to see gambling going on. Shocked I am.
Yeah. I don't know how clear I'm coming through right now.
Great. You're doing great.
This is the Skype on my phone.
Ah.
So, yeah, this is big news, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, for all those people that are the never Trumpers, or those people that said that nothing was going to happen and all this good stuff. And I think that really the credit goes to everybody's going to hate this, but I think the credit goes to Jeff Sessions myself. But, you know, that's just me. And, of course, the shocking revelations that he was going to wear a wire. Shocking. So now see if I'm right on this. By resigning, he doesn't have to go before Congress to testify.
Yeah, that's interesting. I knew there had to be a strategy for Rod Rosenstein. You know, I'm sure he's thinking of himself first. What that's all he's ever done. You know, he's a narcissist. I wasn't aware of that particular procedure that he can now get out. And I think that's really the reason why they kept him in. You want to keep the villains. You want to keep the black hats, basically, you know, in a box. And by having him in an official capacity prevented him from doing many, many things. And they even took away his ability to do the FISA inquiries. So, you know, he was pretty much neutered, but they had him in a box until a certain point in time. And I think it's interesting that Trump is, you know, in New York and he's at the UN. And he's about to give two major speeches before the General Council and the Security Council,
right?
And that Pompeo's out of out of town, and so is Sarah Huckabee Sanders. So, you know, they got the whole team out of the Oval Office, and you got John Kelly. But you know, you got to feel good about John Kelly. He knows what he's doing too.
You got John Kelly. That's it. Come to me, brother. Come and let's have a talk.
Well. You know, for Rosenstein to say, I'm resigning because I believe that the president's going to fire me, I think is credit to your point, which is that he's basically making a preemptive move to avoid testimony under oath.
I think so. But I would. But, you know, I would never be in that position. But I mean, if thinking about it, what's his best option? That's it.
Well, now that he's come out with this, though, it's proof to me that things are flipping. And I'll tell you why. What I've been hearing is that Loretta Lynch has been exposed.
Yep.
Because Nunes said this very clearly. And Nunes said that it was the Obama Attorney General's office, the Obama DOJ used the FISA warrants to spy on Trump campaign strategy. That was the text.
Right.
So that meant that once they go about the declassification, which I think they thought was not going to happen, and somehow it happened, right? And so Trump's declassifying. In part, I think he put it on hold because there was some testimony that they wanted to get under wraps from Loretta Lynch because Loretta Lynch has flipped, and that she placed four calls to Rod Rosenstein, or Rod Rosenstein called Loretta Lynch four times in the last week.
Hang on, Scott. We got to run a break here because I missed the other ones. So hang on.
Yeah.
We got Scott Adams of the Scott Adams Show with us, and he follows Steve Hilton from Fox News. Wow. What a day for Agenda 21 Radio. We'll be right back.
Tired of paying outrageous prices for Viagra? Well, we have great news for you. Now you can finally get Viagra at huge discounts. Healthy Man allows you to save up to $500 on Viagra. Why pay U.S. pharmacy prices of $15 per pill or more when you can get Viagra for less than $3 a pill? Call today and get 40 Viagra pills for only $99. This can cost as much as $600 at your local pharmacy. You can't afford not to call us. If you want Viagra at the lowest prices, never pay $15 a pill pharmacy prices again. Get Viagra for less than $3 a bill. Call 1-800-558-7297 today and save up to $500 and get 40 pills for just $99. Healthy Man is fast, easy, and affordable. Operators are waiting at 1-800-558-7297 to take your call right now. Call 1-800-558-7297. That's 1-800-558-7297. Again, 1-800-558-7297.
If you're 85 or younger, would you like peace of mind and comfort for your family? We're Final Expense Direct with an urgent message for you. The average funeral today costs over $8,000, but the most you'll get from government benefits is $255. How will your family pay the difference? We can help. Our senior plans start as low as just a dollar a day and pay up to $30,000 for a funeral and other final expenses. Peace of mind is easy. There's no medical exam. You'll have lifetime coverage, and your plan can't be canceled as long as you pay your premiums. Call now for free information about our senior plans. Answer a few simple questions and receive approval right on the phone. Plus, call right now, and we'll give you a discount prescription card for free. Call 800-826-1132. That's 800-826-1132. Again, 800-826-1132. 1132.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, inventor of MyPillow. My employees and I would like to thank you for making MyPillow possible. Years ago, when I invented MyPillow, I thought I was the only one out.
Do you need a car? Been shopping only to be turned down because of bad credit, low credit, no credit, bankruptcy, or divorce? Guess what? Today's your lucky day, because now you can buy a car, truck, or SUV, just about any vehicle. It's true. Bad credit doesn't matter. No credit? Doesn't matter. Bankruptcy or divorce, it just doesn't matter. As a matter of fact, your job is your ticket to your new vehicle. We're Auto Credit Express, and we've helped thousands of people just like you. Antonio H. told us, great company, got me connected, and the day I went in, I drove off in the car I wanted. 100% worth your time. Need a car? Get started now, and drive off as early as today. Just go to 2ignoremyscore.com right now. That's www.2ignoremyscore.com. Auto financing the easy way. 2ignoremyscore.com. Get started today. Auto financing the easy way.
The Agenda 21 Show.
And welcome back to Agenda 21 Radio. We're with Scott Adams of the Scott Adams Show, and we're talking about Rod Rosenstein apparently resigning. Here we go. So the big news is starting to hit now, isn't it, Scott?
Yeah, you know, this all comes from the declassifications, and so Nunes said very clearly that the Obama DOJ spied on the Trump campaign for campaign strategy. And that means that the DOJ is Loretta Lynch. That's Obama's lapdog, right? I mean, DOJ, Lynch doesn't do a damn thing without Obama's approval. She works at the pleasure of the presidency. The president controls the DOJ. So basically, you know, Obama's always had corrupt DOJ AGs, you know, Eric Holder, Loretta Lynch. So Loretta Lynch then, once the declassifications were going to come down, it was going to stop at the buck. You know, the buck stops at the top, and the buck at the top of the DOJ was Loretta Lynch. She was sitting there with full exposure, no protection. And Rod Rosenstein more than likely was covering his own, right? So at that point, she flipped. And from what I hear, and my sources told me that Rod Rosenstein called Loretta Lynch four times, tried to set up two meetings with the White House, and they rejected them. No, they said you can't meet with the president. And Loretta Lynch, I'm not sure, was taking his calls. And I think he was really feeling like he's going down,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
He's the one. Now, there's a lot more with Rod Rosenstein because, you know, Matt Couch, for example, has talked about, you know, the two assassins for Seth Rich were coming out of ATF and DEA, out of the Maryland office where Rod Rosenstein worked. And he was doing some cover up for Hillary Clinton. So it's very possible that he's exposed. The reason why he was brought on the DOJ to begin with was he was in a lockbox. They basically had full control of him. But he was trying to make a move, and he was realizing that then Loretta Lynch was making a move against him, and he realized he needed to get out. To your point, I think this resignation prevents him from doing more damage to his credibility under oath, and he's going to lawyer up. He's probably going to get a crowdfund-me kind of deal, you know, and lawyer up and prepare for the worst, as is Brennan, as is a lot of people. Brennan's going to be the next shoe to drop, Brennan. But Rod Rosenstein has long been the target and long been talked about in the Q circles as being in the kill box, definitely the one that's in the deepest trouble, mm-hmm. most exposed. But Loretta Lynch flipped on Rod Rosenstein. The declassification was what started the ball rolling because that was going to leave Loretta Lynch out to dry. She was going to be basically without cover.
They had to get somebody who was going to flip, and they got her. And she actually, when you take a look at the links of the chain, so to speak, if you look at it in that sort of a metaphor, with all the cast of characters, she's the weakest of the link there. And I would think she would be the first one to turn on them.
Well, think about it. She recused herself. You know, in that whole tarmac meeting, we know that that wasn't about grandkids and golf scores. You know, we know that. You know, what do you expect? You know, we're going to believe that? Well, we'll believe that just as much as we'll believe Christine Blasey Ford's testimony.
Right.
Right? I mean, you know, it's not to be believed. So the thing about it is that Loretta Lynch is also spilling the beans about the tarmac meeting. I mean, I think she's going to come clean.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You know, the one thing about Loretta Lynch that strikes me is she would not survive in jail too well.
No.
And I see her as doing anything she can to keep herself out of jail.
And I would see Bill Clinton doing anything he can, too.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, what do you mean there? I mean, you're talking about the tarmac meeting? And
I'm talking about his wife.
Oh, well, yeah, of course. I mean, I actually don't think he would care too much if Hillary went to jail.
See, this is what I've been thinking about for so long, is in that meeting, you know, that was a stupid meeting for him to be involved with her, thinking again. But again, I want to go back then to personality.
Well, back then, they thought that Hillary was going to win.
Right. Well, that too, but also, I felt Bill Clinton was in a position where he could easily bully Loretta Lynch. And that's I saw it as a bullying move.
Hillary was the heir apparent.
Right. And I saw that was nothing more than a bullying move. Because remember, she was basically bullied into giving United Bank of Switzerland, remember, at the behest of everybody, the Clinton Foundation and everybody, because remember, it was all coming down at that point in time that United Bank of Switzerland and others were actually providing the funding funneled by the CIA, Hillary Clinton, and Barack Obama, that eventually got its way into the Middle East to topple all those governments and to create ISIS. Remember that little pathway? It was Loretta Lynch who gave a pass with a minimal fine for the United Bank of Switzerland because of all their wrongdoing with all that stuff that was brought out. Because remember, she was the prosecutor in New York there, and that's what gave her the job after Eric Holder. It was sort of a reward. But she understands how the game is played. She was being set up, I think, back then in that whole deal with UBS. And she could sit there and say, well, wait a minute, Bill Clinton here is telling me all this stuff. Hello, and then that fast forward it. That's why I say she was the weakest link of everybody there that would be the one that would turn. And she obviously,
and you
I
know
agree
who's
with you
still
did.
Standing? Trump. Trump is beating them all.
Just beating Trump them down.
I mean, Trump was cool as a cucumber today with Nikki Haley at the UN just before he gave a speech on drug distribution.
You know, we had John Martinez on the show in the first hour, just an incredible first hour with him. Second hour with him, talking about all the Maoists and everything, and, of course, this whole issue going on. Here it is. We have John Martinez on. He's a specialist in Central and South America and all the cartels and worldwide and so on. And here he is. We played Trump, that clip where he's in the House, in the United Nations, in where all the other scumbags and criminals are. He pulls all the criminals together in one house to tell them, you're going down. That's exactly what he did. Yeah. You're going down. Hello.
Well, you know what else? This takes away the steam, all the rhetoric that they're talking about, Kavanaugh and then this new Yale accuser. This takes all the thunder out of that because, you know, this is the real story, and everybody's going to be covering this Rod Rosenstein story. And the thing is that this works out perfectly because it's exactly what Trump wanted, was Rosenstein to resign rather than him fire. And, you know, a lot of people were questioning, well, like even Trump talking on Geraldo Rivera's new radio show and basically talking about, you know, that he never was part of the hiring process for Rosenstein, that Sessions was. But I believe, again, Sessions, white hat, took Rosenstein in because Rosenstein was the one that was going to be responsible for basically redacting and declassifying the FISA distribution channels. And he was directly guilty and involved with it. So everybody knew he wasn't going to do it, right? He wasn't going to do it. And everybody saw this. I think people saw this playing out exactly the way it's playing out now, which is that Rosenstein was never going to indict himself, and he thought he would get away with it. And they also anticipated the moves that he would take in order to cover that up and block it. And part of that involved Robert Mueller.
Right.
So Robert Mueller, you know, I forget the guy's name. He's the guy that's going to be, he has a foreign name. I forget the guy's name. Negroponte maybe, something like that. He's going to be the next person in the hierarchy, and he is a pro-Trump guy, and he especially when it comes to the Russian investigation. So the predecessor, the person that's going to follow up Rosenstein, is going to be favorable to the Trump administration.
Well,
especially
how about
when it comes to Russian collusion.
Yeah,
delusion.
But how about just somebody who's neutral? Even that.
Well, yeah. You know,
just
all
be neutral. You know, just be neutral. And you know, I guess people could envision being neutral, being favorable to Trump.
I thought they were going to wait for the declassification after Kavanaugh. But now, in light of the Rosenstein thing, I think that there's no reason now to withhold the declassification.
Well, what's going on here is one-upmanship. Okay, you want to up me with the girls with Kavanaugh? Well, guess what? There's Rod Rosenstein. Hello. Now we've gone on to this story. Now, what's going to be the left's response? Because the left is going to lose interest in this very quickly, as they always do. And we're talking about the Kavanaugh. They've got another issue, and this Kavanaugh thing is not going to work out for them. This story, this narrative, because literally there could be more weeks of this going on with Kavanaugh, but it won't.
Well, I've seen several reports of Democrats walking away from this this complete character assassination of Kavanaugh.
Right.
Everybody sees this for what it is. It's like anybody with half a brain understands what due process is all about, and that this person doesn't have a case. And that this is all timing and political stuff that even Democrats are saying, I don't buy it. And so they're walking away from the Democrat Party. You top this on, this is like icing on the cake. Then the next shoe to drop is going to be the declassification. And that declassification is going to expose, I think it's going to expose Mueller. It's going to definitely expose that the whole Mueller witch hunt was based on a fraud that was implemented by a fraud, Rod Rosenstein being the fraud, the Russian collusion delusion being the fraudulent story. And this whole special counsel will have been built on a house of cards built on sand. You know, so that's what's going to happen. And there's going to be no reason for the special counsel to continue. And once they shut it down, you're going to start to see the indictments, the subpoenas, the grand jury get into motion in Utah with John Huber.
Now, I want to throw something else at you that I think is a very, very plausible situation. I guess I'm sort of outing myself because I really believe that right now, at this point in time, believe it or not, that Mueller is cooperating with Trump. Now, the reason why I say that is because Mueller
I've heard that.
Does not want his information to come, the information about him and the overthrow of the Putin-leaning government in the Ukraine. Because remember, it was Mueller at the time who was the FBI director working alongside John Brennan that helped to foster that overthrow of the Ukraine. And guess who's right there in the midst of that? Paul Manafort.
Well, he worked with Yanukovych. He worked with the Ukraine leader, Yanukovych. And he worked with Deripaska with regard to the Iran hostage. So Mueller is knee-deep in conflict of interest and in collusion with the Russians and everything you just talked about. So, you're right. And then not only that, I think that you're going to find connections and turning a blind eye to the Uranium One and the Clinton Foundation getting rich off of that and a whole host of other things where he's going to be at the very least gross negligence for being an FBI director and not catching things that were appearing right before his eyes.
Right.
Basically, right. Turning a blind eye is almost as guilty as covering up a crime.
Well, and, the most important person to cover for year after year after year after year after year after year after year for decades, the Clintons – and all the wrongdoings there. I mean, I can see Sandy Berger. They covered for him when Sandy the burglar turned burglar.
Yes.
And
yeah,
stole those documents.
Papers down,
I mean, I have direct
the
personal knowledge of that event. And it was, who was it who was covering that and all the way through? James Comey. James Comey's the man.
Right. When you look back, you could go back all the way to like 2003. If not even earlier.
1989, yeah, actually.
19 what?
1989 is when it started.
Okay, yeah. Well, yeah, no, that's – but you see the same circle of people, and it's just like a cyclone that just works its way up the acres. You know, it's basically like the same circle finding its way up to the top upper echelon of government, and it's the same cabal because those are the only people they could trust. That's the same thing I said when Eric Holder was going to step down. He eventually was just getting burned out, 6 years. He was one of the longest AGs. And I said, who's going to replace Holder? Because anybody halfway legitimate is going to find all kinds of fraud in the DOJ. I said this before Loretta Lynch took the post. And I said, sure enough, I saw this great relationship between Eric Holder and Loretta Lynch. And I knew Loretta Lynch was a sellout and basically somebody who would cover up for Eric Holder. And here it is. The chickens are now coming home to roost, that she has been busted. The deep state's been busted. And this all happened because Hillary Clinton didn't get elected. Remind yourself of that this November when you go to vote, because this is all what we would have covered up if it wasn't for the fact that Donald Trump got elected. Now we need more Donald Trump supporters in Congress.
Well, it looks like that's going to happen from California. I'm looking at data. In fact, I'll be talking to some data people this afternoon about California elections coming up in the House of Representatives. And stunningly, I was the one that first came out and said that California actually could pick up from the current. There's 53 members of the House of Representatives right now. 39 are Democrats and the rest, 14 are Republicans. Now, that's just really fair, I know. But, it looks like, believe it or not, I came out and said California could pick up another two, making it 16. Now, we have been playing this game and watching various races going on, and we're finding out that I'm going to revise my prediction. Are you ready for this? To as many as 12 additional members of the House coming to Washington from the state of California that are Republican. 12.
Wow.
That's just a game changer nationally. Game changer.
That would be amazing. And, you know, I think that they're doing a lot of work to basically restore voter integrity by, you know, kicking MS-13 out of the country, getting all of the thugs and the muscle and the coercers out of there, and really, I think, ensuring or doing a better job, at least than 2016, of, you know, making sure that these illegals feel pressure in voting illegally. They shouldn't do it. And, you know, there's been a lot of fighting back and forth with regard to, you know, Moonbeam and, you know, the laws that he's trying to push through California State to allow people to get these IDs to vote. You know, the FEC and the federal government have another, DHS, they have another thing to say about it, and ICE. And that's why they want to get rid of ICE, by the way, because they threaten the illegal immigrant voting bloc, because the illegals feel threatened and they feel a little bit afraid of showing up and going to a voting booth because they might get nabbed. And they're worried about that. And they shouldn't be voting. They shouldn't be there if they're illegal. They shouldn't be at a voter precinct. And so, you know, power to the federal government and Trump, the Trump administration, for, you know, this kind of intimidation that needs to happen. We want to intimidate illegal voters from voting.
Yeah, yeah. It's that's exactly what we want to try and do. And, of course, out here in California, you know, the allure of lots of cash and lots of driver's license and all that stuff, brought to you by Jerry Brown, and a sanctuary status, of course, being protected from ICE and so on, which is, of course, the signal that they want to put out there. It's not happening as much as they think, because a lot of communities are just not complying with the law, which is interesting.
Well, you know, Sessions has done a remarkable job. I mean, people don't know.
That's right.
How much work and how much time he has invested in voter integrity. It's been quite amazing. That illegal immigration, drug distribution, all of those things have been huge for, you know, it's interesting. Loretta Lynch, her focus was human trafficking. And she didn't do a great job, actually. If she did, she would have probably arrested Hillary Clinton and the Clinton Foundation. But, you know, that's an interesting thing in and of itself, that seems to be, that was the focus of her, you know, her personal interest as an attorney general. And yet we're seeing cases cultivating right now, like the two 750s or the 757 jumbo jets that flew into Little Rock as related to a drug bust that also was tied to human trafficking. These were a lot of things that were happening right under their noses, turning a blind eye. And now, you know, we see the Sessions DOJ cracking down on Backpage.com, NextVM, the sex cult related to the Bronfman family, the Seagram heirs, and then all of these other drug trafficking, which when you look at drug trafficking, you always have to look at human trafficking. So all of these things are being focused on by the Sessions DOJ. This whole Rod Rosenstein thing and the Spygate, Russian collusion delusion, this was a sideshow that they were able to, right, because they already had them dead to rights. The evidence was just so clear.
Well, you know, it was allowed to be the sideshow, and this is what I was trying to tell everybody, that we know there's no there. So we knew that from day one because we were intimately involved with the things we were doing with the Trump administration. Hello, we knew there was no there. So it was safe for Trump to pursue this and to set all these people, which is what he's done. And, of course, right now they're all realizing, we've been set up.
Yeah.
And listen, by the way, if you don't realize it, listen to Red State Talk Radio and we'll tell you that you've been set up.
Yeah.
We'll be more than happy to explain it.
More
to
than
you.
Anybody else.
Don't you think we owe it to those people to explain it to them why they got set up?
You know, that's the thing. You know, I mean, the truth has to come out. And I think the mainstream media really has failed to cover the truth in the news and cover things fair and balanced. I mean, it's okay to cover a whole host of stories, but when they completely ignore, you know, the important stories and cover just the basic crap that you get from, you know, whether it's Christine Blasey Ford or some Gloria Allred bimbo, whatever it is, it's ridiculous that the mainstream media is so shallow and so biased and so in the tank for the liberal agenda.
Yeah, it's laziness is what, I mean, really, forget the ideology even, you know, in the media business. If you're lazy, you're all you're doing is parroting the stuff that's presented you by the guy next to you who hands you a piece of paper. There's no research being done. You know, that's the essence of poor media is when you don't do your research. And of course, now the problem with the mainstream media is everybody's got a computer and can fact check everything. That's their problem. Big problem. Big time problem. So anyway, yeah. The going forward, though, I think the next person, who do you think the next person is going to be to fall?
Brennan. I think Brennan's going to be the next target. Now, he's not going to fall because he's really unemployed, except for the fact that he works with CNN. But I think Brennan is going to be the next person, the next shoe to drop. And that's going to happen with the declassification. I think that Nelly Orr is in big trouble. That's why she doesn't want to testify. And I think Bruce Orr is flipped to protect his wife, Nelly Orr. And so there's a lot of stuff that's going to be happening. This declassification, they waited on this because this was an ace in the hole. This wasn't going anywhere. But what they were doing was they were getting all the testimony in on the books, and they were declassifying this stuff, not only to police the leakers because they distributed documents that were coded so that when they leaked, they could track them back. That was one thing they were doing. But the second thing is they wanted to keep it sealed so that people who would testify didn't see the whole blueprint of what the landmines that they needed to sidestep. So they gave their testimony, and that brought out more truth. You have Lisa Page flipping on Peter Strzok. You have Bill Priestop that's probably not going to go down for anybody. He is probably the sword in all of this with regard to the FBI, because McCabe is in big trouble. And I think McCabe might even flip against Comey, because McCabe is really in the kill box
flipping
right now.
He's been flipping, and I think Comey's toast. I think he knows it because McCabe has flipped. But you also have the other thing, too, and I'm going to be working on this one. You have the Dick Black controversy where McCabe arranged for $700,000 to be used in his wife's campaign against Dick Black, the Virginia senator, who knows where all the skeletons are in the closet relative to the transferring of money from Obama and Clinton into UBS. And guess who the gatekeeper was at HSBC, Hong Kong Shanghai Bank? The gatekeeper to make sure James Comey. James Comey before he became FBI director.
And his boss, Bill Browder.
Bill Browder, right.
Bill Browder. Bill Browder was the guy that Putin mentioned in Helsinki.
Right.
Who embezzled $1.5 billion in tax-free money and was told by Putin, you know, and I think Putin backtracked a little bit on this, but said he gave $400 million $400,000.
Quickly, before because we got to go, I want to get your information. But Money's Bill Browder comes Foundation. Out. Bill Browder comes out and makes a fool out of himself a couple weeks ago. I thought, great, all right, we got him too. Anyway, Scott, we got to get. We're running for time. Tell us how we can get a hold of you.
ScottAdamsShow.com, RedStateTalkRadio.com.
Awesome, Scott. Thanks a lot. Great breaking news, and again, I'm sure tomorrow we'll be more than happy to talk with one another. Maybe I'm on your show, you're on mine, that sort of thing.
Great.
We got just too much information coming out. Anyway, thanks.
Bye.
Scott Adams of the Scott Adams Show. Breaking news. Fantastic radio show today. I really appreciate all of your listenership. And remember, stay strong, America. Stay strong. We are exceptional Americans.
We're sending out an SOS to the last vestiges of freedom, democracy, and the American way of life. Paul Preston with Agenda 21.
You're listening to Paul Preston's Agenda 21 Radio. Stay tuned for more of Paul Preston's Agenda 21 Radio.
This is AENN, American Exceptionalism News Network.